Now that we've got everybody sorted out, Lord, we do thank you and praise you that we, as we have gathered together in your name, you have met with us and you lead us and guide us and show us yourself. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to see you in a greater way. You desire for us to know you. You desire for us to abide with you. Just as has been said many times this morning, your word and your life abide within us. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, that you love us and care for us. And Lord, you guide us. We thank you for this opportunity to look into your word and to hear your voice and to know your truth. Know you are truth in life. We thank you, Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Good morning. We are blessed to be able to gather together and share the word of the Lord and to hear his heart beating in each of us. And one of the things, a couple of weeks ago, the Lord dawned on me or opened my eyes to grace in a new way. And, of course, grace is one of those things that often, well, can you define it? Can you, what does it mean? I'm not trying to go there, but the Lord has shown me that as we abide in him, as we trust in him, as we walk with him, day by day and through all situations, the Lord is with us. And that is his grace to us because he has made it possible. There is no other way. There is no other way except that he provides the way. And I have a few things I'd like to... there's many scriptures that could speak from. But when I say that the Lord is the way, he is. He is the way because he has the authority to be the way. He is not limited. He has the power and the ability to do all of the Father's will and to show us the Father's will and to reveal to us that we are loved by the Father and by him, and that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and we can trust that he is there and will be there and will walk with us and will interpret our prayers because we don't know how. And it's by his pure blood poured out for us that we are able to walk in his ways. I'd like to share a few spots in Scripture. In Matthew chapter 6, this, of course, is part of the Sermon on the Mount, and very familiar to you. I'm going to read around the Lord's Prayer here. The disciples asked the Lord to teach them to pray. And this is what he shared with them. And it's interesting because it's interesting to me. I'm just amazed at the simplicity of it and the power that the Lord has. And he speaks here to us. He has authority. And so when they ask him to teach them to pray, he tells them, and if you look in, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, he is speaking to our faults. And it's okay, because he has paid for our hypocrisies and our unbelief. And he wants us to believe. He wants us to know. He wants us to, as he says in verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose they will be heard by their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. It's important to realize that what he says in verse 8, he knows what you need before you ask him. For years, I sort of struggled with that in if he already knows, why do I need to pray? That's pretty logical, isn't it? That's gnawing on the bark of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord wants us to know him. The Lord wants to show us himself. And as I studied this and looked at this, meditated on this, came to realize that this prayer is basically telling Jesus what I need and what he wants me to know and what I want him to show me. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Verse 9, pray then in this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I know you are in heaven, Lord. I believe in you. I know you are, your name is above every name. I want to know you more, Lord. Thy kingdom come, verse 10. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know everything that has to happen, needs to happen. You know what will lead men to the Father to know and for you to be revealed in them and to them and to us, and that we can share with one another the things that you have done. And the things that the Holy Spirit will do. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Very simple. He is saying, we can try to analyze that, and it is certainly worth the opportunities that we have to meditate on things as simple as give us our daily bread. I certainly get more than daily bread, way beyond. But that's not the point. The Lord is, we're asking him to provide what we know he will provide, and to help us to believe that he will provide in spite of anything. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. He will lead us. He will open our eyes to see our need for forgiveness, and that we need to be forgiving of others. It is His power. It is His life. It was His blood poured out for all of these sins, all the forgiveness that is needed. He wants us to know. He wants us to trust Him and believe that as we walk along, we may trip, we may stumble, we may misstep, but He is there, and He is able to reveal to us Himself and reveal to us what He wants us to see and to know and to become. In Him, by the Holy Spirit, by the life of the Father. I'm going to skip down to verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth. I mean, I know you all know these scriptures. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The lamp of the body is the eye, and if therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And therefore the light that is in you is darkness. How great is the darkness! If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? He speaks of our treasure. And we think of treasure as gold, silver, dollars, euros, we think of it as physical possessions. The Lord wants us to trust in Him and abide in Him. He has making a place for us, and He has gone back to heaven to do that, the scripture tells us, to prepare a place for us. And that place is greater than all the treasures of earth. And we can see it. We can ask for it. He wants us to know. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to believe in Him. And that as we believe in Him, we come to know Him and we are changed to be like Him. That's abiding. Skipping down then to verse, all this is marvelous. He speaks of the birds of the air and how God feeds them. They don't have to build houses and barns. They don't have to sow or reap. He feeds them. And the grass of the field is beautiful, more beautiful than any clothing that mankind has come is able to produce. Verse 31, do not then be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He's not saying He's going to buy you off. You could interpret it that way. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and we are fulfilled. We will be fulfilled. We'll be carried forward. Therefore, verse 34, do not be anxious for tomorrow. There's a great deal of anxiety for tomorrow in our surroundings, in our place where we live, in the place, this earth. Do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. He is taking care of all these things. He is providing a way through all these things. He is allowing us to know Him and to know the wonder of Him and His kingdom and His life and His heart for us. Know the power of His cleansing blood. Hallelujah. I would encourage you to consider the things that the Lord has said about Himself here and about what He is doing and how we are to be in this world. And He will guide us in the way that we should go. And He will He'll provide for us. We don't need to be anxious about anything. I'd like to go over to chapter 11 of Matthew. The Lord was teaching in chapter 6. He was teaching them about prayer and about serving God, and you can't serve God and mammon. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to walk with Him, realizing that He is leading, guiding, and helping in every way. All right, chapter 11 of Matthew. And it came about, verse 1, and it came about when Jesus had finished giving instructions to His 12 disciples, He departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John, this is John the Baptist, I'm sure you're aware of that, when John in prison heard of the works of Christ, he sent word to his disciples, John's disciples, and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or shall we look for someone else?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John the things that you see, hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me." We need to believe in Him because of what He has done, what He is doing, and the power that He has. His power comes from His holy, cleansed, purified life. He fulfilled all of the law. We haven't got a chance, and we don't. We need Him to understand. We need Him to reveal life, to reveal the law, reveal what God would have us know. And He proves it. He proves His authority by these things He declares to John. He goes on in verse 7, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's palaces, gnawing on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But why did you go out to see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way for you.' John came to prepare the way for Jesus. Truly I say to you, among those born of women has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist, yet he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. For from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. But for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you care to accept it, he himself is Elijah who was to come. He who has ears, let him hear. I stop there. John came to fulfill prophecy. John came to prepare the way in the wilderness. He came to tell the people their need and to reveal their sin and that they might repent. John preached a baptism of repentance, but John said that the one that is coming will baptize not with water, but with fire, baptize with the Holy Spirit. And so have we been baptized by the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, by Jesus himself. He goes on to declare, verse 20, he began to reproach the cities in which most of his miracles were done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! If the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, those godless places, I mean, everybody knew they were godless places, and nobody would go there. I mean, that was just a place of death. That was a place of evil. Nevertheless, I say to you, it shall be more tolerable in Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. What's he saying? He's saying that Capernaum and Chorazin and Bethsaida saw things that would have caused Sodom to repent. They saw the authority of the Messiah, the power that he has, that we see, that we experience. And he wants us to know, he wants us to see, he wants us to feel what he is doing and to dwell in him and to be fed by him. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Verse 24, nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in thy sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. This place is a place of burden. We are surrounded by burden. The enemy would heap burden upon us with a huge shovel. He does not want us to be without burden. He wants us to be dragged down and unable to trust, unable to see. But God is making a way in the Son. Yes, Father, it is well-pleasing, verse 26, it is well-pleasing in thy sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son wills to reveal him. Verse 28, come to me. Jesus has called us, and he's calling us now. He's calling them here. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, true rest. It's not just, I'm going to give you gold enough that you don't have to work the rest of your life. He's saying, I will give you true rest in me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. His yoke is easy and his load is light because he's pulling it. We are in the yoke with him. We can place ourselves in that yoke with him. And he will lead us and show us the way. He will pull the load. He will accomplish that which we have no hope of accomplishing, that which there is no hope to be accomplished. But he declares by his authority and by his power that his yoke is easy and his load is light, and it is available for us to join him in it and to be part of all he is doing. He wants us to know him. He wants us to be encouraged and realize that we're being cared for and we're being protected and that he has much to do and he wants us to be with him in it. One more. John chapter 16. Jesus is speaking. Verse 7, but I tell you the truth, that it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. And if I go, I will send him to you. They didn't understand. And they were frightened by the words that the Lord was saying. But the Lord is absolutely confident and absolutely able and capable, and he wants us to know him. He wants us to be assured that Jesus is sending a helper. He is sending one who will show us, point out what we cannot see, enunciate what we cannot hear, to clothe us in garments of righteousness. And verse 8, and he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me, and concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer behold me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. It's done. He will bring about the end when it is the correct time. And I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. What a promise is that? We will not miss a thing. It's beyond us. The power, the miracle of Jesus' life, the miracle of the tree of having life, eternal life, to having the law of sin and death be put out of the picture, out of our way. he shall glorify me. This is the Holy Spirit, the helper, will glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. The Holy Spirit is hearing. He is hearing and revealing the Godhead to us. And he shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said, he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. A little while and you will no longer see me, and again a little while you will see me. Some of his disciples therefore said to one another, what is this thing he's telling us, a little while? They were confused, understandably. They were still in their earthly mind, their soul, living in the soul that the sin of Adam and Eve was still upon them. Skipping down to verse 22. Therefore, you too now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one takes your joy away from you. And in that day you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. What a promise. That our joy... Now, don't mistake this joy for the joy that we think of in this world. This isn't... promise, this isn't tickets to Disney World. This is the joy of heaven, the joy of the Godhead, the joy of the angels, the heavenly host. We may have joy that God has promised and wants us to share. These things, verse 25, these things I have spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will speak to you no more in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. And in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I will request the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you. He loves me. The Father. The Holy One, the pure, who sent his Son for us that we might be able to know him. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father, verse 28. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. I am leaving the world again and going to the Father. His disciples said, lo, now you are speaking plainly and are not using the figure of speech. You remember, he's spoken similar words before, that he was going to die, go to Jerusalem and die, and they couldn't understand it. They didn't. It was beyond them. Somehow he's been able to clear their heart, clear their mind of that which they couldn't understand. Verse 30, now we know you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone. because the Father is with me. I'm going to pause there for a moment. They have declared that they believe, and they thought they did. They think they did. They thought they were ready for this. But they weren't. But He is. And He knows He will be carried through. He and the Father will go through all that is necessary for our forgiveness, for the judgment to be turned away from us. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. That is the basis of His authority. He has overcome the world. We can't do it. We look at that and sometimes try so many things that are in Scripture that we try to do on our own, and only the Lord can do it. And He wants us to sit at His feet. He wants us to be embraced by Him. He wants us to be as the bride in Ecclesiastes. Leaning, coming up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved. This is a wilderness place. We are to be leaning upon our beloved. He loves us and He cares for us. And He wants us to know Him. He wants us to be absolutely cared for and known and to understood. He has overcome the world. We are in Him. We see and will see Him overcoming the world in fullness and final days, the last day. He will come. As John reveals to us in Revelation, as God revealed to John in Revelation, he wrote it down, the King is coming. And He will prepare the place. He has prepared a place. He has provided everything that is needed. And He will cleanse the earth. And the creation will be ready and fulfill the purpose for which it was intended. Lord, we thank You and praise You that You love us and care for us. That You show us Yourself, that You give us what we don't even know enough to ask. But You do, Lord. By Your Holy Spirit, You take us to the threshold of heaven and open the door for us that we may go in, and that we do not have to live up to the standard because You have it. You are the standard. You have done it all, and You will carry us through, and Your people will know You and love You and rejoice in You. Thank You, Lord. Glory be unto You. We ask You to just carry us through. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.